I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back. It is 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. That music in the background. Band of the day, Black Label Society. They're going to bring their Doom Trooping Over North America tour to the Complex on Friday, November 26th with special guest Obituary and Prong. You've also got ex-Ozzy Osbourne guitarist Zach Wilde, who's going to bring his brand of rock and roll to Salt Lake City. Tickets available at AXS.com and thecomplex.com. All brought to you by Live Nation. You can go get more artist information there as well at LiveNation.com. Joining us right now on Unrivaled, he is the play-by-play voice of the USC Trojans. Pete Arbogast joining us on the program. Pete, thanks for being with us.
Anytime, guys.
Scott was regaling us with some of his old days as a Lions quarterback on Thanksgiving, and being supplanted by some of those Lions greats over the years. Is Thanksgiving and the NFL and watching football games on Thanksgiving? It must be up there with some of the great holiday traditions we have as Americans.
And Lions greats is an oxymoron, isn't it, I think?
What about Barry Sanders? What about...
I know. I'm just... And, hey, Richie Bush was there for a while. I know.
It is what it is.
Absolutely.
Trying to give you trouble.
No, you know what?
We love trouble. I think just don't boo us in the introduction. That's all. I don't care.
Scott has...
USC just perplexes the heck out of me. Right,
you and me both, brother.
And because it's the top of the food chain. Like, everybody wants to go to USC, but it doesn't feel like everyone wants to go to USC anymore. It feels like people are going all these other places. We're here in Utah, and it just annoys the heck out of me. Like Jackson Dart here. I mean, he lives in the same hometown that I live in, and he goes to USC, and we get players that end up in Oregon, and they're Utah products. It's like, stay home, stay here, go to Utah, go to BYU. And what's happening with recruiting, and it just feels like players aren't going to USC anymore.
They're all going to the SEC. The Pac-12 kind of stinks right now, really, honestly. But it's cyclical, you know. I mean, I've been around doing this job for 33 years, and I've been following the team since I was like six. And that's a while ago. And you know, you see it come and go. I've seen great teams. I've seen terrible teams. I've seen great times where the conference is top to bottom as tough as they come. And times like this where it's just not. And it's all about where it's being coached well, playing well. And I don't know about staying home, but sure, if you can recruit your area 100%, and nobody gets in and takes the kids away that are reasonably good. There are all kinds of reasons, and it is what it is right now. But it's going to change again. You know, 10 years from now, we'll have a different discussion.
Well, and how long does a turnaround like that take? And I know this year, you know, we're looking at a team that's been limping through with their interim staff after Clay Helton was let go. But so what has the vibe been around the team? Has it just been like, just get through this, write this one off as a total loss? Or they have to keep some semblance of positivity with all these guys there so you don't have half the team going into the transfer portal.
Yeah, they're not playing very well as a group. And whether or not that's because they're not very good or they've given up, I don't know. Because I'm only at practice, you know, once a week. But the loss of the coach, the change of the coaching staff early in the season, that was difficult. The fact that they don't have any semblance of great, great talent on the defensive line, so they're getting beat up on the, that side of the ball. And then, you know, you play some pretty good teams, and things just have gone wrong at the wrong time in some of these games. They've been in all of these games. They were even in the UCLA game that they lost 62-33. 2 minutes to go in the third quarter, scored a touchdown, down by 12, went for two, didn't get it. They were down by 11, went for two, didn't get it. Down by 11, and then give up a 100-yard kickoff return, game over. And so you're in it. You're in it for a long time, but they're just not able to finish at all. And that happened against Arizona. Against Notre Dame, against Utah, against Oregon State, against Stanford. They were in those games late third quarter-ish. The ref made a bad call or they dropped the ball the wrong time, and they don't have the fortitude. Where it is, the house of cards kind of folds up, and that's it. And we have, every week we go into the pregame show as a broadcast team, and we say, well, if they could just not do that, that'd be great. Then we'd have a full 60-minute game. And every week it keeps happening. So you can't go in and expect something different to happen. It's insanity, isn't it? Isn't that the definition of insanity?
That's what they say.
Well, that's how I live my life, is just kind of doing the same thing.
Well, I hear you. So, I know.
And I'm comfortable with it. I really like life.
You're not on the hot seat down in L.A. Yeah,
no,
I get it. Yeah.
I'm always on the hot seat. So Jackson Dart, freshman, comes in. He's a Utah product. What's been the vibe about him? What are your thoughts on how he's done so far this season?
Well, good, not great. He's an 18-year-old, you know. I mean, that's like starting a ninth grader in varsity football in high school.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah,
you're going to take some hits, no matter how good you are, and no matter what program you're playing for. And so he's been good, 60%, 7 TDs, 4 ugly interceptions into double coverage. And, you know, he knows it. He hasn't been running as much as I thought he would. He got that ding on his knee at the Washington State game that he led the comeback of, and my mom would yell at me for dangling a participle there, but whatever. he's looked good, and here's the main thing. The fans seem to react better when he's in, and the players seem to play with more enthusiasm when he's in. So that's not a bad thing. But he's got to stop making the freshman mistakes, and I don't expect that to happen until next year.
Play-by-play voice of the USC Trojans, Pete Arbogast, joining us here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Before we get to the BYU kind of breakdown of what it looks like with the Cougars coming into town, what does USC have to get in a coach? Like, when you look at, like, there's a top job as a college football coach, and then there's USC, which is even further up that line, which means the expectations are astronomical too. But what is it that USC's looking for? What's Mike Bum looking for when he sees this? Because obviously Luke Fickell says he's staying at Cincinnati and all those things, but what is the thing that USC needs then right now in a coach?
Well, let's preface it with saying that because, as we, I think, agree that the Pac-12 is down a little bit right now, mm-hmm. Any team that really gets a great recruiting class or two or three in a row and can coach them up at the same time is going to be in the national picture, because you're going to win the league running away, and then you'll be right back. And especially if it's an SC, because, you know, the media market that we're in, they've got to go out and get big, fat, mean, ugly guys to play the defensive line and the offensive line. That's number one. And that is not the case right now. Now, the offensive line has come from being very ordinary to being pretty decent here towards the end of the season. They've been able to run the football a little bit more. And when they can run the football, they can pass the football a little bit more. So the offense hasn't been a terrible tragedy. It's on the defensive side. And they've got to go out and get those guys. So I'm thinking defensive guy. The last time we had defensive guy, it was Pete Carroll. Now, he was the sixth choice for something like that in 2001.
That's hilarious.
But turned out okay. Yeah. And then they've gone through, as soon as he left, they've gone through, you know, bang, 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 bang. It's been a revolving door. You can't do that. You have to have a guy and his staff, and they all stay there for a long time so that you become a school known for at least having guys hang around, and you're going to be coached by those guys. So they've got to find a guy that's not 70 years old, probably a guy that's 50 or so, less maybe, and I think a defensive-minded guy, and then he brings in the best offensive-minded offensive coordinator that you could possibly find.
Is USC a tough job to be attracted to? I mean, you get Luke Fickell at Cincinnati, and it almost seems like he's the odds-on favorite. But I don't know if there's a sense that he wants to leave Cincinnati, and it's like, I think I'd leave Cincinnati for USC. But
he's from there. Yeah, got to remember he's from there, and has coached at Ohio State, and has seen coaches from Cincinnati become the coach at Notre Dame. So he doesn't have to wait around for very long at Cincinnati. They're going to join the Big 12 in a couple. So he's got that to look forward to. And if he sticks around for 3, 4, 5 more years, then he's the coach at Ohio State or he's the coach at Notre Dame. And that's kind of what he wants because that's where he's from, which is fine. I dig that. How is it here? Well, weather's great all the time. The traffic is terrible
all the time. Yeah.
So it's kind of an all the time thing there, no matter what.
Whatever
it is,
you do, it's going to be all the time.
All the time.
Live in Manhattan Beach or Palos Verdes, which is right on the coast. There's worse places to be. And you're going to make a lot of money, not only as coach, but ancillary money in the media. You have all kinds of opportunity here. You could do television, commercials, radio shows, you've got all that stuff, in which it pays probably more money than it does if you're in Provo, for instance, no offense.
Yes.
Look, my first job in the business was in Twin Falls, Idaho. I am paid more now than I was paid then.
Yeah, it's a shocker.
And I'm paid more now than I was paid when I was in Cincinnati for a while. So there's goods and bad, but look, you're the coach of USC. That's a long, great history. It's a great program, historically speaking, down right now. But now you've got a chance to come in and be a savior, too.
Yeah.
Now, boy, if you bring this program back from the dead and win a Rose Bowl or two and a national championship and be in the picture, well, hell, they're liable to build a statue for you.
BYU comes into town, gets to the Coliseum this weekend. It's a weird game in the sense that and USC plays those weird games periodically, playing USC or Notre Dame, you know, later in the season sometimes, and that happens. But this is a team that is looking really, really tough right now. Kalani Sitake is one of those names that people throw around for the possibility of at least listening down there to a job in L.A., which I don't think would be the case. But what do you get from this BYU team, having probably cram a little bit over the last week of watching Jaren Hall and that offense and what BYU does?
They remind me very much of what we just saw in UCLA. Big, giant, strong running back. Algier looks like, you know, I mean, if he does what he's been doing, he's going to run for 220 yards against SC, the way they play defense against the run. Hall likes to throw and run. Nobody likes that if you're on the defensive side. The receivers are all pretty good. The line is huge and averages, you know, 300 pounds a guy. The defense is fine. The loss of Wilgar didn't help any. The loss of Peely didn't help any. But they're strong enough. And here's the show. All they got to do is outscore SC. So it'll probably, like I said, it'll probably be okay for a while, and then something will go wrong. It'll be 26-25. Something will go wrong, and then BYU will score, and then SC will go 3 and out. BYU will score, and the game will be over. And that's the way it's been. So look for that. Now I know you. I see BYU's numbers. You know, 107-33 outscoring their opponents in the first quarter. That has not been the case for USC's defense. They've been pretty strong coming out of the gate. The first half hasn't been too bad. And then they just kind of wilt at the end of the ball game. I like BYU. I think they're good. I don't think they're great. They should be ranked ahead of Oregon. and Utah is ranked behind Oregon. I don't know how you figure that out since they just beat them last week by a lot.
These are all smarter people than us. Come on.
You should probably be ranked 11th in the country right now. But you look at, you know, you only won at Washington State by two. Lost to Baylor, lost to Boise. Boise, not in West Conference. They're not great. You've done well. You beat Arizona, Utah, and I can name a team that didn't. So it will take SC's supreme effort, something we have not seen this year, to win this football game.
Do you get a sense from USC that they want to try to get bowl eligible? I mean, they win their last two, they become bowl eligible.
I don't know if they want to. I do. I'm paid by the game.
I understand that. Believe me, I do.
Scott does the same thing for you.
Let's go Trojans. I don't know. I don't know how they feel about it internally as a team, whether they just want to fold up the shop and get out of Dodge and be done with it. This is senior night. There's something to be said for that. And if you can sneak one through, if you could accidentally beat BYU, and if Cal were to beat UCLA, and UCLA's got to be hung over after knocking off SC like they did, then SC and Cal would meet the following week for a bowl berth, which would be kind of fun.
Wild.
So there's stuff to play for. I just don't know if they have the emotional tenacity to care at this point. I don't know.
Well, we're going to be following this one, of course, closely. Pete Arbogast is going to have the call on the Trojans radio network, and he joins us right now on Unrivaled. Pete, good luck on the call this weekend. We're looking forward to it, man.
Thanks. I look forward to speaking to all of the BYU Cougar fans who tune in to our broadcast in the Coliseum. Bring your radios and enjoy our broadcast. And I say that fully knowing that we're USC homers, but I like it when our fans go on the road and listen to the road announcers. I think it's an important thing to do to hear different voices around the country, and I think it's kind of cool to be able to do that.
It is fun. Yeah, it's a fun thing to be able to do, so we're going to be tuning in. Appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend. Happy Thanksgiving. We're going to take a break here. More to go right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone as we continue. We've got much more to jump into in the next Scott said something before we started, and that was, I can get BYU into the top 10. Almost like he's making a deal as an East Coast gangsta. He's like, you want me to put BYU in the top 10? Hey, I'll put them in the top 10. Scott's got a scenario how they get there. The question is, would it be enough to put them into that college football New Year's Six scenario? We'll see. We're going to come back, talk much more. Next hour, we've got Mark Johnson, who's the play-by-play voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. We got a lot going on still. Pretty go right here. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.